Right behind him is the favourite Cheowulf pulling to the outside. Major Bill comes up the rise in front from Royal Patronage, Kintyre, then Arctic Glamour. Further back to My Oberon, Kovalika's looking for a gap door, got shut out there. Racing to a narrow lead is Royal Patronage. Now the favourite's coming, Cheowulf, right down the outside. Tom Kitten tries to go with him, but Cheowulf for the wind and he sails, draws away for a big win in the Epsom.
So Elias moves up on the outside of Duke de Cessa. 400 metres to go, two lengths, Young Bird of Bois d'Argent. They were followed by a tissue into the clear. Via Sistina very wide, and Buckaroo is winding up to Duke de Cessa at the 200 metres, and Elias there stride for stride. Here's Buckaroo right down the outside with Via Sistina. Duke de Cessa kicking. Via Sistina and Buckaroo are coming together. Buckaroo and Via Sistina. Via Sistina and Buckaroo. Via Sistina. A terrific win. Beat Buckaroo. Elias third from Duke de Cessa.
G'day listeners and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are reviewing Turnbull Stakes Day and Epsom Handicap Day, but it was a fantastic day, an all-time podcast set. We'll pat ourselves on the back. We'll quickly review this and we will move on. But for those that did listen for the first time to the podcast last week, and I did see a few on Twitter, we do that every week. Wouldn't it be nice if every week was like that? But nonetheless, how was your weekend? You got out to Flemington?
Yeah, I did. It was cold and wet there. It was, you know, about race three, it was raining sideways. You couldn't even see the horses in the in the manifold. So it was an average day on course, but the racing was very, very good, and it did help that we had a good day betting. So it is like that almost every week, just so you know, punters.
Tune in.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Listen.
Every single week.
prior to Jenny, Via Sistina, what a fat result. Kicked off the canvas. Looked like Buckaroo was going to go straight past her, but I don't know about you, Will, but I haven't roared one home like that probably since last spring.
Yeah, no, I did too, and I was sitting next to, I was there with my my mum and one of her friends, and my mum's workmate friend, her mum was there, and you know she's an elderly lady, and she was I think she was quite frightened by how hard I don't normally go off like that, but I love that one. I was a little bit excited, and I think she did not expect it.
Yeah, she probably thought, gee, I didn't know Will
had that in him.
And also, how much money has this kid had on this horse to be celebrating that hard? The reason I had Pride of Jenny on my mind is because that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. While it's fresh in our mind, the news has sort of surfaced today that she will nominate for the Toorak Handicap and the Might and Power Stakes. Now, if there is no intentions at all to go to either race, this will be one of the all-time cover-up jobs by Kieran Maher and his team. Mm. I am still not 100% sold that he has intentions to run this week. And if he does, it's obviously going to be in the Might and Power, not the Toorak Handicap. Weights for the Toorak have come out now. Pride of Jenny is there with 59 kilos, the top weight, obviously. Desert Lightning 55.5, and of course the stablemate Another Will 53.5. So there has to be a 57 kilo top weight at acceptances. So naturally, if Pride of Jenny doesn't accept, then everything else will have to go up 1.5 kilos, because Desert Lightning's 55.5 will have to rise to 57. But if he has the cheek to accept and then scratch, I will piss myself of laughter. What do you make of it all?
I mean, yeah, like there's no way of knowing, but it doesn't seem right, and it sort of seems dodgy. I don't know, not that I'm implying that there's anything dodgy going on, but, you know, I mean, if that is his intention, just to compress the weight scale to favour his horse who is favourite, then, I'm not a fan of that, but, you know, if you can do it, then why not, I guess, because there is millions of dollars on the line.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because there is a said rule against doing what he's doing, but how can it be a rule when you can't prove that you can't prove his intentions, so you can't enforce any ruling? Like, she's a 1600 meter group one horse at the end of the day, who's nominated for a 1600 meter group one. So they've paid up, they've paid their nomination fee. They're well within their rights to do what they're doing. It's very, very fascinating. And although, you know, the people will say, everything goes down in the weights just because Pride of Jenny has nominated, I understand that, but it still does change the weight scale. It still does compress it. And at the end of the day, if you've got horses carrying more weight, even if it is the same weight, it's still a factor. Like, if you've got a younger, inexperienced horse and he's got 58 kilos and Antino's got 58 kilos compared to if you've got a young, unexperienced horse who's got a low weight and less dead weight, then I don't know. I still think there is sort of a difference. Like, this might sound completely stupid, Bot, but it's like two people going for a run, level weights. All of a sudden, you give both of those people one dumbbell each, and one person might be able to run with that dumbbell better than the other. So, I don't know. I think it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I don't like. We've got handicaps in Australia for a reason, and we do it well. And, you know, Australian racing's built on handicap racing. So we want good handicaps, and we want, you know, the weight scale's compressed compared to what it used to be as it is. We don't need it more compressed. I do think if she runs in the Toorak, that'd add an extra element to it. And I'd be so excited to see her in the Toorak. And I really, like, you know, I'd love her to run in the Toorak. But
I'll give you 500, I reckon.
Yeah, I'd have someone on it, but I agree with you. She's not going to run in the Toorak, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah. There is a chance she runs in the Might and Power and goes up against Mr. Brightside, but I put out a little tweet today that I reckon it's all a cover-up. They've nominated for both races, so it seems like they genuinely have intentions of running this week, 2 weeks to the Cox Plate, when really the target all along has been the King Charles, and that's what they've been saying. So it's going to be very, very interesting the next few days how it plays out. I could be very wrong, and I'll happily put my hand up and say I was wrong. But if I am right, then I'll be happy by the same token, because I am one of many who have taken massive overs on Mr. Brightside to win the Might and Power. Self-interest, there's nothing quite like it. Will, let's get to Flemington Saturday's card. The rail was out. There was rain during the race meeting, but a lot of it was just surface water, so underneath the track was still relatively good in, you know, at stages. So Form King has it not racing as heavy as what it probably appeared on TV. How do you think the track played?
Well, it was essentially a four for the first three races, and then obviously we saw what happened to the track. You know, it was raining very heavily. I don't know exactly how much rain we got. But it sort of downgraded the track, and it was pretty much a five for the rest of the day. So, you know, Flemington drains really well, and you know, the times suggest that it went from a four to a five, and then it sort of stayed to that level. So, you know, I thought Flemington raced really well on Saturday. You could just about be anywhere on the racetrack and be competitive, and I thought it was mainly pace related, pace related and best horse related results. So good racing.
Yep. I completely agree. Don't have too much to add there. Let's go straight to the group one. It was the Tab Turnbull Stakes, 2000 meters. Set weights and penalties. Duke de Cessa has led this at a good clip. That's his go. Get him along. He doesn't really have a good turn of foot, but he's been ridden to his strengths. He's only been beaten two lengths by Declan Bates, who goes so well. But the action was in the top three. Via Sistina has posted a rating of 104.7, which is clearly her career peak here in Australia. So while it was a bunch finish and she sort of had to fend off Buckaroo very late, gee, this was a monster win. She's carried weight for age, so that means the rating is a little bit better than Buckaroo, who carried a kilo less than weight for age. He ran second. Looked like he had a cold at probably the 300. Mm. Via Sustana kicks back. And Alias, I thought, was brave as well. He's on track for a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah. So is the second horse, Buckaroo, for a Caulfield Cup.
Mm.
The market was really interesting with Via Sustana. You know, we saw the corporates, you know, that they wanted to be top price throughout the week, and then and that she sort of was floating around $5, $5.50. She even got out to $6 at one point. And then it was sort of $5, $5.50. And then the last sort of 5 minutes of betting, she was crunched. She was $5 into as short as $3.94, I think it was, Betfair SP. They hammered her late. You know,
the pros were just sitting there going, we're going to hit it. We're going to hit it. We're going to hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did. They got it right. Buckaroo was a big drifter. Actually, he started $6 Betfair, but they got stuck into him as well. Actually, at the death, because he started $6.50 fixed odds official SP, and then Betfair was $6.10. So while he was a drifter in the market, they did get a handle on him really late. The death, and they essentially just backed four horses in this race, and the rest were soft. Well, they didn't really back Buckaroo until the absolute death, but Duke Assessor was well backed too, which I thought was a little bit interesting. Maybe that's because he was going to be the pace in the race, and he was hard fit going into the contest, and I think maybe he is a better horse at this sort of 10 furlong trip, and maybe he doesn't quite get a mile and a half quite as well. You know, it's a relatively small sample size, but, you know, from what we've seen, maybe he just doesn't quite get that extended trip. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see where he goes, because he went to the Queen Elizabeth last year, and I backed him in that, the Queen Elizabeth on Stakes Day, the 2,600-meter one. And, yeah, I thought Alias was good, but at the same time, he's no better than what he did last time, and I found it interesting that he started favourite in this race, you know, marginally, albeit, but you know, he I guess it was, maybe it was because he was going to be up on speed and leading, and it's a good Caulfield Cup trial, but yeah, and I'm not completely sold as well that he's a true mile and a half horse either. Like,
are you sold that Buckaroo is though?
Nah, but if he's $6, I'm just going to back him to do it anyway. we'll talk about Buckaroo now. Like, Buckaroo, he goes to the Caulfield Cup now. That's confirmed. If he's sort of $5, $6 the day, and, like, you know, you get a competitive price because people might be suggesting that, you know, he might not run the trip. Well, I don't really know either way. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily care. If you get a competitive price for this thing to win the Caulfield Cup on the day, I'm saying on the day of the races, not right now. Don't take $5, $6 now, but on the day, if he draws sort of middle to sort of inside, I guess, because, you know, he is Chris Weller, he might be taken back from a wide barrier. But if he is going to be given a sufficient ride, and, you know, he's there on the day to win the Caulfield Cup with 54.5 kilos, he's a... if the only question is whether he runs a mile and a half, I'm going to smash it because I bang. Just well,
love that.
Yeah,
that's good. Joe Moreira is going to ride as well. He's obviously gone really well for Joe the last few starts. Mm. Don't know if that's necessarily a thing, but he's obviously turned the corner, and he's obviously got a few things to suit the last few starts. He's got probably the right run in the race, but yeah, he's going really, really well post the gelding up. Let's talk a little bit more about the winner, because we did say she was a cracking bet, and I probably should have stuck to my guns on the podcast and said she was the best bet of the spring, because that's what I was saying in the lead up. My confidence was tempered a little bit when I saw the radar, but nonetheless, I want to pay a little hat tip to Nick Foote, who actually said in his preview show that sharp and smart drawing outside him would actually provide him a bit of a toe into the race. I know he didn't take her all the way into the race, but while she, you know, it did actually give her a bit of a back to follow throughout the race, and she was exposed from probably the 450 and had to fight them all off. But when she balanced up and started to let down, I thought, we are absolutely home. Then I saw Buckaroo and I thought, oh no, we're not. But gee, that last 50 was exciting. Oh, she's on track for a Cox Plate now. It's as simple as that.
She has to be, yeah. But she's not favourite for a Cox Plate. You know, she'd be second, third, maybe even fourth favourite for a Cox Plate, I think. Maybe that's harsh. I'm just really excited about broadsiding and obviously the Japanese horse as well. You know, he's time for 129 on his day, and I think Damien Lane jumping on it will be the making of it, because you know it's been given some average steers over in Hong Kong. So just with one more thing with Buckaroo, I wanted to say something, but I think I've forgotten. Just with the Corfu Cup, like, you know, the market's got just as much idea as what we, like, anyone else does. No one's got any idea if he'll run a mile and a half. So I think it's easy to just sort of forgive those things. The market doesn't know, and that can be an opportunity. If the market doesn't know, then no one knows, and there's no way they can sort of accurately measure it, and, you know, there could be an edge in the price. So, The Via Sustina, yep. Really, really good. You know, she carried weight for age, whereas most of these didn't. She returned to her best. And I just think it's another case of just when you're doing the form, if you're doing the form, don't treat things as a black and white sort of thing. You know, people will say just with stats and stuff, like, you got to, I think, and this is a perfect example of it. You know, people might say, well, she failed on a heavy track last time, and if there's rain,
she was
around,
zero from five the Melbourne way of going. She just doesn't go that way.
Yeah. Well, I think the most, especially with wet tracks, and I think a lot of people get really, really try to get in depth with wet tracks, and I think that there's definitely something in it, but I think with wet tracks specifically, I think you need to be. I think it's more about where you are in the preparation compared to, you know, if this horse has won on a wet track in the past, blah, blah, blah. But if it's first up and it's not conditioned to, you know, racing on wet tracks is harder because you have to, you know, just think about it. Like, running on a
requires
fast
more fitness.
Track. Yeah, exactly right. So if you're first up, it's completely different to being third up. So you got to factor those things into it. You can't keep things black and white, and you got to dig a little bit deeper, maybe, I don't know. But in behind, I thought Francesco Guardi was good. And just a sneaky one, I don't know if Valiant King can get into a Caulfield Cup, but, you know, he ran six, and he was sort of chopped out of it. And last year's Melbourne Cup will be a whole lot better than what this one's is. He just made just that improvement, because he was bad first up, obviously. That was at 2000, but he just took a nice step and just did enough late there to suggest that, you know, get him to a mile and a half next time third up. He's in the Chris Waller stable, great conditioner of horses, obviously. And he's gone around at 200 to one Betfair, 214.50 Betfair. You might get it priced about this thing for the Caulfield Cup, and he could be one that just can completely explode. So he's on my radar for a horse that I'm hopefully going to be on in the Caulfield Cup. You know, might take 50s, 100s, 80s, whatever. So exciting.
Yeah, ran six in the race last year, and they also could just lower their sights and go to a Moonee Valley Gold Cup or a Geelong Cup, something like that as well.
Well, even then, I'd be interested in him.
Yeah, you might get 20-1 rather than 50-1 and still a bet. Just last thing on Versatino, we've done it to death, but you just have to forgive these good horses. Like, she just didn't have things go her way last start. It was pelting rain. It was about to hail at Flemington. And then she's gone first up slow tempo to second up ballistic tempo. Pride of Jenny going along in front. And then she just hasn't handled it. I mean, Pride of Jenny led into a headwind first up and was beaten six lengths. And then look what she's done since. So, yeah, I reckon it's just a good lesson for punters out there, just to forgive if the circumstances are there to forgive. All right, let's go back to race three, Bot. The Superimposed Stakes was taken out by Keeneland. BSP is $9.30 from Red Ace's Scary in third, and Sergeant Major rounded them out. obviously going to be a great lead up to the Derby, the VRC Derby. But what did you make of this race?
I mean, this is the first sort of real Derby lead up. And, you know, this is a race Riff Rocket won by 5 lengths before he went on to win the Derby. And this race has actually gone, you know, pretty well, I thought. You know, it's not as good as Riff Rocket last year when he won by 5 lengths. He ran a rating of 97 or so. This is the winner's run just about 95 here. So a little bit off it. But, you know, these horses can keep improving. And I just like the way that the lot of these, at least the sort of first down to about Lavier, have finished the race off. You know, I think it was on pace dominated. They went sort of an even pace and then clipped it up from the eight. Keeneland's a nice horse. Red Ace is, you know, he's one that can continue to improve. He won the Biley, I think he won at over 1800 meters at Flemington. He's a real stayer. He'll keep improving. Scary, massive last 800 meters. He's a proper stayer too. Sergeant Major, just, you know, the market liked him late. Did they? I think they did. I think he was. Yeah, they did. Yeah, he was firm and just the other one, Lavalier, who I haven't really had much of an opinion of throughout his career. Like, I was sort of thought he's gone around much too short in the races he's contested in. But I think getting out and trip, his mum's a horse called Accessories, who is the mum of, I think, Epaulette, Bull Bars, Helmet, Pericles, you know, very good mum, has a lot of nice horses. So maybe a mile and a half and a half furlong of the Derby trip might see him out, because he's by microphone, but he ran a nice last 800 metres as well. Maybe he's the Vars horse that can sort of leapfrog these ones, just going quick around that Moonee Valley circuit, that, you know, he could be the one for that. But yeah, it's actually gone quite well, I thought, this race.
Yep. I'm going to write the headline right now, a headline that I would love to see this spring, and that is Nick Ryan wins his first Group 1 as a trainer in the VRC Derby with Red Aces. I thought his run was outstanding. Cut back to the inside, I think he's only going to improve up and trip, which you could say for a lot of these horses, but he's the one I want to take out of the race. By done deal, we know that's a brilliant staying pedigree, and yeah, I really, really like Red Aces. So keen to see what he can do at 2,000 metres and then eventually the 2,500. Mm. Okay, let's go on to the manifold, Group 2, 1,600 metres. This was for the three-year-old fillies. And I think this is where it just started pissing down.
Yeah.
Two Darn Discreet has won this, $9.50 from the Clichy Boulevard. Did a few things wrong, was well backed into $2.20. Kilcare Beach Girl, $10. And All Kinds of Folk was $61, rounded out the top four. Will, what'd you make of the win of Two Darn Discreet and another brilliant MZ ride?
Yeah, great ride. He got it perfectly. It was perfectly ridden. The pace of this race was red hot. The Kilcare Beach Girl was 12.50 to up to a mile, and they ran along, and I think that's a bonus for the horse going so quickly into, you know, testing conditions. You know, it can't be easy, especially with the setup it had. So, you know, up in distance, that could be a horse that you give it a bonus to, maybe. Two Down the Street, you know, good through the line. Obviously they went at a good pace. Its mum actually won this race, and went on to win a Group 1. Which one? I can't remember what Group 1 it won, but from a good family, obviously, and by Two Darn Hot. So it'll continue, you know, gets a mile out to get out to 10 furlongs. Maybe it's the Oaks horse. I sort of think Delishy Boulevard didn't stay. You know, it's by Snitzel, so that, I think 1,400 metres, slowly run 14, zip home, and, you know, straight into a strongly run 16. Maybe it does run 16, but just not a 1,600 metre race in testing conditions run this hard. And I think the obvious horse to follow out of this race, and not toward the obvious Oaks lead-ups, but you know, if they drop back all, if they drop all kinds of folk back in class to like midweeks in a maiden, you know, you just back it because, you know, it was a good run and it's still a maiden. I think you cut it off about there. Wings of Desire was a little bit disappointing. But the market knew with Two Down Discreet, and yeah, I didn't see that coming, but fair enough.
Yeah, it was maybe yeah. Discreet is the mum who won the SA Oaks, which you do have to take into account that it's 2,000 metres, not 2,500, but still, that's a good tick in the box. But a lot of these will progress onto a race like the Wakeful and then the Oaks, but there's also the 1,000 guineas if some of them want to stay at a mile, so that's worth noting.
Mm. Yeah, I just say that this race hasn't gone really well at all, but like what else are they going to race against, I guess? Like, you know, it's all well and good saying this race hasn't gone very well, like the historic sort of context of these sort of things, but, you know, they're only going to race themselves, so it's not really relevant. You know, maybe the Sydney Fillies come down for an Oaks, but I have no idea what's headed toward an Oaks, so I couldn't comment. But, yeah, the race hasn't gone well, but they're just going to race each other, so it doesn't matter.
Yep. Let's move straight on to race five. It was the Dane Hill Stakes, 1,100 metres, group two for the three-year-olds. First Settler's taken it out, SP $4 from Reserve Bank. The Stablemate was $5. And Enriched got into third at a nice price, $26, and Tarpaulin rounded out the four. First Settler, he drew barrier one. Michael D wanted to find a back, so he went all the way back to last. The horse overreacted a little bit, did a few things wrong, and threw his head around just a tiny bit. But I thought his final 600 metres was excellent. He was the third fastest final 600 metres of the entire meeting. It was off a very slow tempo, so you just got a nice turn of foot. You know, last 600, 5.5 above, and the rating on Form King is 93.5. So while this race won't be troubling the Sydney horses, I thought this was a nice enough performance, and had circumstances gone his way, he probably would have won by further.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this race. This hasn't gone well at all. The signs were there early with the way the market sort of moved. It was, they backed Lofty Arch, Savagery Vibe and Bitter Creek. You know, Savagery Vibe and Lofty Arch, they backed heavily. And they were coming out of, you know, maidens, and Bitter Creek was first up off the JJ Atkins. Got question marks about this race. I don't think it's gone any good. Maybe you can follow a horse like Reserve Bank toward a race, the race that Archo Nacho won last year at Moonee Valley.
I don't know what it's called.
That's it. Yeah, I'd say that these horses should and maybe will be targeted toward a race like the Red Anchor instead of the Coolmore Stud Stakes, because they're not up to that and they'll get smashed. But, you know, First Settler's going to be a nice 20-1 shot on Mark, 50-1, get an extra little couple bits of percentage. So I'm looking forward to that. Do they backed Lofty Arch really hard. I just noticed the actual price that went off.
Yeah, and I do think he'll be better suited back on a dry track, back in grade. Like,
he's a good schnitzel horse,
I feel like. And he was only beaten less than two lengths, yeah.
He's a schnitzel, so, you know, gets through the wet track, but boy, he's a big horse. He's a big horse, so, maybe he's not suited by the wet track. I don't know. It wasn't that wet, really. You know, the firm underfooting at Flemington drains so well. It was effectively a five, so, I wouldn't be worried about it. I think he'd probably just run the same rating it did last time, and maybe next time around a bend, maybe Caulfield, drop it back to a listed race. It can be... just let it go around the bend and try and kick.
Yeah, yeah. Around that bend a lot of the time with the leaders, you can just be able to steal a march on them. Mm. And that's something you can't really do at Flemington. I mean, if First Settler had a drawn one and been dragged back to last around Caulfield or the Valley, well, he doesn't win this race. But the straight's a little bit more forgiving for those that, you know, don't get the first 100 metres quite right. All right. Speaking of not quite right, Uncle Bryn has taken out the Paris Lane Stakes over 1,400 metres, the listed event, race six. SP $61, BSP $139. I mean, this is a horse that won, was it the Naturalism last year, Bot? and he kicked their heads in. Like, he's always had the talent,
yeah,
but he's just a bit of a head case who doesn't always put it all together. But this was a very, very good win. 98.4 is the rating, so that's pretty good. Plenty of ammo, I thought, lost no admirers. 93.9 for her, and she's well on track for some of the fillies and mares races this spring.
Yeah, so he went off at 140s Betfair, but and yeah, you look through his ratings. He ran in the three of the last ten. He probably was entitled to win this race, but he was very bad first up. Well, not very bad, but he was a long way off what it'd take to win this, or what the expected rating would have been on Saturday. And he was off a year there. So there were, you know, that's why the market was so heavily against him. But on his day, he's a really nice horse. So the Busterton and Young stable have done really well to get him to this level so quickly into the preparation. And, you know, he's got to be respected going forward into whatever race they take him to. And, you know, he's a horse that can get out to 2,000. So, plenty of ammo, nice horse. It resumed pretty much close to its peak. Yeah, I think the interesting thing here was Royal Champion. Betfair, it's jumped $5.20. Nowhere near even favourite. But it went, like, fixed odds, it went off the best price was $3.90, but Betfair jumped $5.20. So the big guys.
So that just tells you it's all yard inspired.
Yeah. Jackson said he was fat as a house. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that Aaron Bay was heavily backed. I guess they were sort of.
Sort it was of just the box just hitter, wasn't
to
it?
The front. Yeah, but he hasn't improved from his first start run, and it hasn't gone awful. But the win has gone pretty well. He's carried 58.5, and he's done it so well. Even though it was a blowout result. But, like, you know, there were reasons why he was 141, regardless of how good he is. But yeah, the rest of them are not probably relevant. Maybe plenty of ammo going towards mares races, but yeah, the rest of them, I think you can probably forget about.
Yeah, I don't know how Uncle Bryn's done this at 1400 meters. I don't think he's got any 1400 meter form within the last couple of years. So it was a bit of a shock, but. You know, at his best, he does have the class, and he's a horse you can sort of follow up to 2,000 meters now.
Yeah, well, I backed him first up last prep in the PB Lions.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember. And you backed him at a big price in the spring last year when he won. Was it the Naturalism?
The Foundation Cup. That's a Naturalism.
Foundation Cup. Yeah, that is the Naturalism.
44s. How good was that?
Yeah. Anyway. Right. 40-1 winners, that's what our bot does.
Shut up, stop it. No.
Let's go to the Bart Cummings. Just Fine won the Group 3, worth $500,000 over 2,500 metres. Jordan Childs, take a bow, son, because you've got this horse into a Melbourne Cup, and he's probably not good enough to be figuring in a race like that. Mm. But nonetheless, he's absolutely perfected this ride from the front. Runs to 98.2. And this is a My Racehorse runner. So
I feel so bad for the VRC. And imagine being the bloke that has to organise that sort of stuff. Like, that's essentially...
Oh, my
God. That's what you do at Mooney Valley, isn't it? Like, you have something to do with, like, managing that sort
of stuff.
A little
bit, nah. But we've got someone who... We've got, like, an older lady who comes in and does all the owner stuff in the race day office. Her name is Glenys, for people who have gone in there and chatted to her.
Yeah.
She takes no shit, but she's very good at what she does. And, yeah, this would be an absolute headache because this horse has probably got 500 to 1,000 owners.
Mate, it's a strip
and all of them, all of them would be saying, I own a Melbourne Cup horse.
It'd
and
be
probably
an absolute...
none of them have an owner. Yeah. I'd be surprised if many of them actually had a owner's gold card or are listed in the race book, and there's probably only going to be 20 or 30 mounting yard tickets that are given out. And how are you going to do that? They're going to have to do like a raffle or something. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, whoever's doing it's going to have to deal with that, and it's a strip out for them. So I feel bad for whoever that was. But great ride, Jordan Charles sort of snuck away at the, where was it? Just before the turn, really, as soon as they came around the, you know, about that 800 meters he took off, maybe even 1,000. I was really disappointed with what Berkshire Breeze did. I you know, I thought he was sort of perfectly placed and had a soft enough run, and he was really firm in the market too. He just was awful. Really bad. Point King sort of, you know, he was in the cup. They probably, he's run the exact same rating as what he did in the Archer.
I'll just quickly butt in. Jamie Carr has been confirmed to ride Point King in the Lexus Melbourne Cup. So
what weight does it get? 50-51 or something? Or
you keep talking, I'll check.
Yeah, Amade was good. He did Amade things. He's a horse that can target the Queen Elizabeth on Stakes Day. Or I don't know if they've moved that, but the 2,600 meter race, you know, he perfect for that. Maybe even a Bendigo Cup or something. I don't know what they do with Berkshire Breeze. Mission of Love. Not sure where they go with that.
Berkshire
horse.
Breeze has got to go for a spell now, surely.
Yeah, they probably do. But I mean, he wasn't awful. Like he wasn't so bad to the point where something was wrong. And I think that's the worst part about it though, because he wasn't so bad that there's hope that he can go better. It was like he was so bad that, you know, everything's fine and he was just so bad. You know, there's no upside. He was just bad. And I thought you could, of course you can follow. I thought Interpretation was absolutely gone at the start. Like from what he's done, the first sort of three or four runs of his preparation, he has turned it around here, and he just really, really good. Got out wide and charged to the line. Maybe it's a mile and a half thing. Maybe he's just wanted a mile and a half. But you know, he was pretty bad in the Archer too. So, I don't know where they go. Maybe they try and win another Bendigo Cup with him.
Bring him to Moonee Valley. We'll take him.
Yeah, Moonee Valley Gold Cup, perfect race. Positivity was good too. St. George was pretty bad. Man's Oyster too. El Bodegon got some of mine, but didn't do any good. So. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's. I don't think it's cup relevant. Not at all.
Sorry to RD with Mostly Cloudy finishing second last.
Yeah, what happened there?
That's what you get for being a smart ass to me during the week. All right, let's move on to the Gill Guy, 1,200 meters, Group Two, right to party. Another podcast tip salutes by the barest of margins, Arkansas Kid, who, had he not been hit by the handicapper with 59 kilos, probably would have won this race, clearly would have won this race. But Right to Party, she's just absolutely loving this Flemington Straight, and she gets up another win here. Probably appreciated getting back on a firmer surface compared to last start. It was off a slow tempo. We know she's got a very, very good turn of foot. She's run the fastest last 400 of the meeting. She's run to 100.2. So obviously a new career peak for her. Arkansas Kid was good. And Stretton Angel, well, she's a big, big follow going forward. I thought the other horse was Magic Time, who finished fourth. She was unlucky in the last 100, got chopped out for a run. She carried the big 58 kilos, so above weight for age. And I think she's right back on track to possibly defend her title in the Rupert Clark Stakes.
Yeah, Right to Party, really good. I think the 40 days between runs and just being on that heavy track got the best of her last time, and you know, she improved and ran a career peak on Saturday in the Gill Guy, you know, really good. Not sure where they go now. I think they're gonna probably try and aim up toward a champion sprint. The sprint scene's not fantastic at the moment, but you know, Bala Nipotina's probably gonna be there. I'd imagine I Wish I Wins there if he's not going to the Champions Mile. She's got to be there or thereabouts, but I doubt she'd win it. Arkansas Kid just keeps taking that next step since we backed him at Moonee Valley that day. And Stretton Angel, you know, I think Daniel Stackhouse is a great, great rider. He doesn't often do many things wrong, but I don't know what he was doing here.
he was sort of on the inside. Yes, you know, it was drawn barrier two, but and I know exactly what he was thinking. I know that he was thinking it's probably the inferior ground, but I kind of think that he probably should have just went up the inside, and he probably wins if he does. I don't know. It's impossible to measure these things, but.
He went all the way back to last and then around them to try and loop the field and get into that better ground. And maybe it was better ground, but he's probably given up two lengths to gain a length, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and she was really bad first up on that testing track again. So, you know, just another one of those things, like first up heavy track, just forget it. She's on track to run the rating she did in the Goodwood, and you know she's a great filly, so. She, you know, a race like the Newmarket next year, you know, if the big sort of sprinters aren't there and it comes up like slightly weaker than what this, you know, we're already in a pretty weak sprint scene, but if the best of them aren't there, you know, she'd be perfect for a race like that. A magic time. You know, she'll be set for the CFO or Rupert Clark, whatever it is. It's later in the spring.
She'll have to carry more weight this year, but I still think she's right on track.
Channel Lightning, what do you do with her? I think she probably goes to the barn maybe now. Like one, she's got the TJ now. She just hasn't. Aside from that, she's just sent her to the barn.
Let's move on. Go to race 10, which was the Rose of Kingston. Quickly wrap this Flemington card up. Group 2, 1,400 metres. Revolutionary Miss. She was just always going to get this perfect run from barrier 4 with Mark Zara on board. Everything sort of just fell her way here off a slow tempo. She sprinted well. Put probably two lengths on them at the 300 and just gripped onto a narrow victory with Miss Aria and Skybird, who drew the widest barriers of all, storming home late, but it was too late, and Revolutionary Miss got up bot, and this was one of your better bets on the day.
It was. I didn't realize that she'd been transferred to Kieran Martin. I just sort of found that out today. Like, I had no idea.
Are you serious?
I had no idea. He was like, anyway.
It's not like she was trained by Hacks before in the Snowdons.
No, not at all. But it just surprised me. I'd just seen that before, and I was like, "What?" Anyway, it didn't matter. She won. Miss Aria, good. She's sort of taken that next step. I think she's by Bonaria. I think I'm pretty sure it makes sense. I'm pretty sure she's the one that's by Bonaria. Who she won an Amaya Classic. I'm pretty sure Skybird. You know, she's turned herself into a horse that's, you know, she's Empire Rose competitive, you know, Macarena.
It'd be interesting to see whether they take her to Sydney or just stay in Melbourne because she's a 4-year-old.
I really hope they don't go to the Gold. It's just ruining everything. We'll talk about it in a sec. But like I was after the Epsom, I was like, Chael Wolf's going to be a great addition to the Cox Plate. Like I think he can keep taking that next step, and then like an hour or two later, it sort of popped into my head that he's going to go to the Golden Eagle, and it just ruined my night.
He'll
probably go King Charles first.
Yeah, I guess so. He should be in the Cox Plate racing against them, but he'd be a great bet at 20-1 in a Cox Plate. She's really, really good. I hope she goes to the Empire Rose. Macarena, she's a nice filly. She probably goes to the Empire Rose. I think maybe Macarena is the best. Who do you reckon is the best sort of miling filly in Australia?
Macarena probably. I don't know if she gets 1600.
She was good in the 1500 meter Cornwall. Ran second in that or third as a 3-year-old filly.
The best 1600 meter filly or mare in Australia right now won the flight.
That's actually gonna go to the Empire Rose. Fangirl's not going to the Empire Rose.
No, Lady Shenandoah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she should go to that, actually. That's a 3-year-old fillies. They should do that.
She would dead set start favourite. 50 kilos.
Oh my God. If she was... Yeah.
That's Dirty Dan Yendel's race. It's a favourite race.
I think Dan Yendel's off the scene at the moment. I don't know what happened.
I know. I reckon he's ridden... two Empire Rose winners.
Yeah.
Shoals. And what was the other one who led? And
I am a star.
I'm a star. Yeah. Good old Dino.
Dirty Dino. All right.
Is that Flemington wrapped up?
Legacies, I think, improved really well if it's first up run. The market didn't like it. It started 100-1 here. Can, you know, just a mile race around Caulfield and Moonee Valley sent it straight to the front, and you know, doesn't have that SP profile, so maybe you get a price and you'll be able to back it.
Yep, sweet. All right, let's go to Royal Randwick. Did you pay much attention to the Randwick races? Did you?
I did. Tune in? I watched a few races. Yeah.
What'd you make of it? I thought Randwick's actually playing pretty well at the moment. Rail plus three. That's a fair rail position at Randwick, and yeah, I reckon it's just coming good for the carnival, which is exciting. Let's go straight to race six. It was the Group 1 Flight Stakes. Well, Lady Shenandoah has let rip off a pretty moderate tempo. She's gone absolutely enormous here on Form King. They do have her rating quite high. So, you know, Dave does have it going to 102.5, which is monstrous. She has won by over three lengths and, you know, Harlem Queen in second and Snow and May, which did start favourite in third. She's clearly elevated up to the mile, but gee, this was some win, and had the stablemate who was scratched, would have been a great race between her and Autumn Glow. Had she run, I don't know if she would have beaten her anyway.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good race. It's impossible to say, but it would have been close anyway. She is by Snitzel, but obviously Snitzel's by Redoute's Choice, and on the mum's side, you know, mum's by Starcraft, who got over a 10 furlongs plus. So, you know, there is a bit of a mile plus staying. She's sort of built like a mile or two. Like, she's not built like a sprinter. Really, really nice filly. She's got that sort of cross of the, you know.
She's looked a miler from the day she debuted, though. I mean, she ran behind Clean Energy.
I didn't think so. She resumed over 13. Well, I thought, what's going on here? Oh, well, aren't you fucking shrewd? She smashed him here. Like, this is really exciting. She's the best filly by a long way. Oh, well, obviously the stablemate. Those two are very clearly the two best fillies. Same stable, so. It's a problem for James McDonald to try and figure out whichever one he's going to ride. He'll probably split them, but I'd love to see her in a Cox Plate. They won't do it. If not a Cox Plate, an Empire Rose, you know, she's
this year.
Yeah. Well, the original plan was the 1,000 guineas with this filly. That's why they kicked her off so late. Like, you know, he probably won't, because
it's still another month and a half to the 1,000 guineas. So I don't know if they're going to get her, Caulfield.
Yeah, just go to the Empire Rose. I think she'd win it. I think she would win it.
She would start $3 favorite, maybe $2.50.
And I'd back her. I think she's gone really well here. And,
Bot's thrown up the Cox Plate. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But if it were to happen, there is a late nomination fee because she hasn't nominated. For older horses, it's $200,000. But a few years ago, we put in a new clause because a lot of these, you know, younger horses, you don't actually know how good they are. So a lot of them don't nominate for a Cox Plate at the start of the spring when the nominations first come out. So we've actually got half price nominations now for three-year-olds. So it's only $100,000. If you pay up for every nomination stage of the Cox Plate and then accept in the race, it works out to be $70,000, something like that anyway. So really it's not that much more expensive. So they would have to pay up the $100,000 and she'd get in with 47.5 kilos. So there's not many that can ride that weight. Maybe Zach Lloyd could, but anyway, it's probably not going to happen. I'm not sure where she goes next, but I heard Chris speaking and he did sort of sound like the 1,000 guineas is just going to be too far away and she might spell before that. So that is very disappointing.
Empire Rose, Chris.
I hope she does come to an Empire Rose, but yeah. I don't know. There was lots of good commentary about the 1,000 guineas moving in the first year or two, but I don't know about it anymore. We'll soon find out. All right, let's move on to race seven, the Premier Stakes. There wasn't much Premier about this. 1,200 metres, Group 2. It was a farcically run race. I don't know what these horses are doing, but they're probably just trying to save themselves for the Everest or the Sydney Stakes coming up in a few weeks. Airman's rated to 101.2, which won't be troubling the scoreboard in an Everest. Marzu, 100.9. Ballonipatina, well, I reckon she was a moral beat, running to 100.6. But what do we say about this race? I'll start quickly on Ballonipatina. Gee, Craig. Oh, after a few winners, I was like, here we are. This is my day. Best bet, Ballonipatina, 11 units on. And oh, I just wanted to absolutely, pull my hair out. Like, just go through the gap.
I'll just waited.
Oh, it was just such a negative ride. It was just the biggest, like, you know, I'm in an Everest. I don't really need to do anything here, and I'll just try and flash home. And if I win, I win. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for me to refrain from commenting about the tactics in this race across the board. I think it's a good idea for me to not say what I want to say. Ballonipatina should have won. Airman, you know, was gifted the race and.
Think about it. I thought Craig Williams on Ballonipatina was definitely going to be the worst ride of the day.
Mm.
And then I look at the ride on Think About It and it was equally as bad.
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't. The tactics don't make sense to me at all. This is a $1 million race. Giga Kick
and the Sydney sprint bonus is on the line. Like, there's a $6 million bonus on the line and you're just sort of letting Airman win a race. Like, what's going on?
Think About It was, I think he's just done. Giga Kick, there was something there, just a tiny, tiny, tiniest glimpse of hope for him leading toward an Everest. But
the Yard Watchers said fat again. So,
how long to the Everest? It's like 2 weeks, isn't it?
2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, Clayton Douglas would want to get him fit before then. Like, if he's fat, like,
I can't see it happening.
Get him fit. You know, like, it's a good idea to have him fit while he's running. I don't know, whatever.
No. Ballonipatina is the only one with half a chance to win the Everest, and even then,
yeah, I think it's so.
Probably
too.
Not good enough. Probably not, but I don't know. She's the only one.
Well, I mean, what even, like, Traffic Warden's got, oh, I don't even know. They're all so even this year. It's like, it's dead set, like, $6 a field.
Yeah. I think Traffic Warden will go off $6 favorite.
That'd make him shorter than that, too.
Well, there you go. Anything else you want to say about this? Like, Marzu, I thought, was in the chair and he's in line to win another Sydney sprint bonus. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, well, he was just in the right spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Settled 3 lengths in front of Ballonipatina.
Yeah. One thing I will say is this year, because there's been a few weird slots given, Private Eye's now in, the Sydney Stakes will be a bit of a race. You'll have Marzu, you'll have Airman, you'll have Think About It, you'll have a couple other, like, decent sprinters. Cole Crusher will probably lead the race, like, and go a bit faster and ensure a bit more tempo. So there will be a few fringe players that everyone sort of thought would probably make the Everest, haven't made it, and they'll go to a $2 million Group 2 on the same day.
Yes.
Yeah, crazy money. All right, let's move on to race eight. It was the Metropolitan Group 1, 2,400 metres at handicap level. Land Legend has taken this out. He's gone around with an SP of $7.50. He's just got the better of Zardozi. They've put 3.5 lengths on the race favourite, which was Unusual Legacy, and Trust in You gets into fourth at a big, big price. The two in the Quinella here, I think, are good horses and will have something to say for in the Caulfield Cup. Zardozi has carried a kilo more than Land Legend here. She'll get a bit of a weight swing on him in the Caulfield Cup, but I still think he's got more improvement left in him. It was Reece Jones's first Group 1, so we congratulate Reece. And they did come together at probably the 400, 450 and bumped, and there was a stewards inquiry after. There was a protest. I went the early crow and touted on Twitter and bought oh my God, my heart has never sunk so much when I learned that the protest was on and I was a chance to not win my money because I backed him all in. So no first past the post. I had to turn my phone off for a bit and just take a deep breath and hope for the best. That's exactly what I did.
I think this race is actually Caulfield Cup relevant. Well, the first two are anyway. Just, you know, it's a bit of a down year. There's no internationals. There's no, you know, there's no without a fight or gold trip racing in it. You know, as good as Buckaroo is. So I think Zardozi probably should be second favourite for the Caulfield Cup, just the way the weights work out. She's gone really well here. And the thing I love about Zardozi and what's happened here is she's sort of, in my opinion anyway, the first three runs of her preparation, she was heavily underpriced. Like she was way too short, I thought. And like in the Kingston Town last time, it was, you know, she was like $6 out to 15s Betfair. But what I love about this is she's just gotten to a mile and a half and she's exploded on what she's done so far, this preparation. And the market knew about it too. She was well backed. So I think what's happened here is she's just finally got it out to a mile and a half. And like all of her peaks are at this trip. You know, as a three-year-old, she got out to 2,500 metres at Flemington, ran a career peak. She got out to a mile and a half for the Oaks in Sydney. It was a really slowly won race, but, brilliant there. And then she's come back as a four-year-old, fourth up at a mile and a half in the Metrop, and she has just gone massive. And, you know, she's run a better rating than Land Legend just because of the way the weights work out. Really excited about her going towards the Caulfield Cup. I think she's... You know, in a down year, I think she's a very exciting filly. And, you know, she sort of reminds me of Montefilia a little bit. Land Legend good. Improved a lot from his first two runs. But I think that's just a function of it getting out to a mile and a half.
He's just another one who wanted more ground.
Yeah, and he did a bit through the mid stages to get into the race, so maybe you can bonus him for that. But yeah, I think Zardozi's got to be second favorite for the Caulfield. The Caulfield Cup, based on this run, and I'm really excited about her actually. So, first two, this race has gone. You know, it's a Metrop, but in a down year for what it is, you're only going to race similar horses. Zardozi is one I want to follow toward a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, Zardozi runs to 102.4 on Form King and Land Legend 99.5. So just looking to the Caulfield Cup weights, Zardozi gets in with 51 kilos, so 1 kilo less than she carried on Saturday. And Land Legend, he had 52. He gets a 1 kilo penalty for winning this race. Gee, that seems harsh, doesn't it? I know you won a Metrop, so, you know, if a horse was down the ballot order, that helps him jump the list and get into the race. But he gets a 1 kilo penalty for winning by a nose on protest. And, you know, those 1 kilos, 2 kilos mean absolutely everything in these handicaps. So he gets him with 53 kilos. So effectively made Zardozi 3 kilos worse off the weights. Jockey bookings, Zardozi will be ridden by Andre Adzini in the Caulfield Cup. So that's very, very interesting. A rider who probably has never seen Caulfield and rides in...
Andre Adzini's never seen Randwick when he went and won it on Circle of Fire. But, you know,
they
run in a circle. It's not that hard. Like, people make massive deals about these things. Like, you run around
the ride on Circle of Fire wasn't that good in the Sydney Cup. The horse was just too good.
Whatever. Like, people overcomplicate things and make things harder than what they need to be. Like, you just run around in circles. It's not that complicated. Obviously, it's complicated riding a horse, but, you know.
It might have some effect on the price. You might get a slightly better price.
I hope
international jockey who, you know, rides in Hong Kong. What is he? Is he French?
Sounds
like Andre Adzini. It sounds French.
Maybe I think Italian. He's
French, French or Italian, but rides in Hong Kong. So take note there, punters. That's the good work of Trav Noonan. Go and follow him on Twitter to get all those likely fields and jockey booking updates. What do you think of the protest, though? Just quickly before we move on, did you think it was going to be upheld?
I didn't.
Or did you think?
I didn't
really see.
No. I knew there was a protest, but I didn't follow it.
I think Unusual Legacy sort of shifted out, and Land Legend disrupted his momentum just as much as he disrupted Zardozzi's. If it had been upheld, I would have been annoyed, but I sort of would have understood it. Like, I thought there was part of me that thought I was in a bit of hot water, so I was very thankful that it was dismissed. It did happen at the 450 meter mark, so while that shouldn't really be taken into account, they just do. Like, they do say, like, you know, you had the whole straight to run him down sort of thing, but, you know, momentum's momentum, so it was an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right, race 9 was the Epsom Chairwolf. Well, we said he should be favourite, and didn't they love him in betting? Started $4, rock solid in the market. Slowly run, Major Bill got its own way in front, which we sort of thought might be the case. Royal Patronage went up and sat second, but Chairwolf is let down with an awesome turn of foot and run a rating of 101. So got him with 54 kilos, escaped the handicapper. Tom Kitten bounced back. Probably just the barrier a little bit costly, drawn 19. But yeah, I think it's all on as Chairwolf, and it was great to see Chad Schofield win his sixth Group 1 bot.
Yeah, smashed him. Good win. He ran all over him. He was, you know, he had a bit on these, I think. Easily the best horse in this race, and he should be lining up in a Cox Plate in, was it 4 weeks now? But he will not be.
Three
weeks. Yeah, disappointing. He's probably going to be, he'll be top of the market. I don't know. There's that Japanese filly everyone's talking about. I have no idea who she is or how good she is, but
she's special.
Special?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he won't be favourite to her then, but...
Yeah,
if she's special.
yeah, but Ascoli Piceno is her name. She had form around the champion two-year-old colt Janta Manta in Japan as a two-year-old, and she's come back as a three-year-old. Don't you know your two-year-old Japanese form bot? Come on, keep up. she's come back even better as a three-year-old, and yeah, she's going to go off a deserving favorite. We did learn on the weekend that the Japanese don't want rain yet again in the arc. Another Japanese horse failing after rain.
No, that was I was just waiting for like them to blow up. Well, we didn't win because, you know, the rain was there. Well, no, you lost because you didn't bring a fast enough horse. That's not the reason you didn't win.
Yeah, no, it probably wasn't good enough either. But yeah, that's probably her danger if it does rain, but hopefully it's a firm track. Lazat is the French horse, and he comes in with the best Racing Post figure rating, and I think maybe even the best time form figure. So he's currently $8.50 on Bet365 and might be a little bit of value at the current quote in the Golden Eagle. So those are a few to note down. But Chairwolf will go to the King Charles next. We'll take on Fangirl, and I'm going to say Brighter Jenny because that's where I think she's going to go. And will be third favourite behind them. So do you give him any chance at weight for age against the big girls?
Nah.
Fair enough. He will have to rise. What will he rise in the weights? 4 kilos, 4.5 kilos, something like that. 54 up to 58.5. All right, did you catch the arc bot? Did you make anything?
Yes, I did watch it. Yeah, good feeling. Camelot.
Blue Stocking supplemented for the race. You know, the first few across the line were just right running the race, really.
No, I think those are the best horses. But I know, I thought it was interesting, was Camelot first, See the Stars second, Camelot third, See the Stars. Like, I think what they're starting to breed a lot of speed in Europe, and it's not good. And it's funny, like in all of their best races, it's always the same horses, and it's like the actually good ones. Like, who would have thought breeding to like Calyx's, or, you know, like he's doing good things over there, but, you know, if you want actual speed, why don't you bring some of our horses over? Like, I don't understand what they're doing, but, you know, just breed the Derby winners and like how they used to, because that's their edge.
Yeah, no, 100%.
But yes, the arc was very good and I enjoyed it.
Yes, and subscribers of the 6 day enjoyed it as well.
Oh, here we go.
We had a bet at $12, so yeah, go and download the app, sign up, give me a message, and hopefully we can start to really, really build up the kitty this week. Will, let's go to a few questions before we do wrap up. Twitter questions first. Sam Wally. Cheers, guys. What the hell is going on with Pride of Jenny and another Will? Turak / Might and Power. No King Charles? Thanks. You've got to give your verdict, bot. Where does she run next?
King Charles.
King Charles for me as well. Timothy Rocks. What long shots could surprise us in the next 2 weeks?
What's running next week? What are they doing next week? Oh, it's the
Turak, Might and Power, Caulfield Guineas, Hill Stakes.
I don't know, something in the Turak. I don't know. I don't like the. I reckon the broadsiding probably wins the. It's hard to get broadsiding beat on Saturday. It's hard to get Mr. Brightside beat if Pride of Jenny's there. So they're left at the Turak, and I don't know. I don't even know half the things running there.
Yeah, it's
I don't know.
I reckon without going off too early, I think it might be hard to beat some of the favourites this week. What about Zardozzi, bot? That's good enough. That's double figures. Do you like Zardozzi in the Caulfield Cup?
Valiant King in the Caulfield Cup.
Valiant King. There you go. There's one at odds. The Pickle's Nose. It's an interesting name. Jeff Penzer or Digger McLennan must have engagements on Everest Day. Traffic Warden.
What?
I've got no idea what that question means. I reckon Traffic Warden is going to be ridden by Jamie Carr. Matt Penny, where is Pericles heading? $26 into $11 on tab for the Turak. Is that a sign?
I heard he was going there.
You heard he's going to the Turak?
I don't know. I thought I saw that.
I heard he was going to the Hill Stakes a week ago.
I thought I saw that today that they were accepting him into the Turak. I thought I heard that.
Do you want to quickly look that up on Twitter while I go to the next question?
Okay.
I don't know about that. They were, but he might not get 1900 meters. So that's the query with going to the Hill Stakes. But yeah, I guess he will get in well at the weights now, 55 kilos, and it might only go up a kilo and a half. So anyway, while Bot gets that up, let me go to the next question, which is, which remaining futures bets for the spring look the most, sorry, from Chris, which remaining futures market for the spring looks the most odd and bizarre?
Why are you talking to me? I'm trying to read if Pericles and the Turak say again.
Yeah, you don't do bloody futures markets anyway. To me, growing Empire at $2.50 and $2.30 in the Coolmore.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Like, oh my god, that is
to me.
Insane.
That's probably that just looks really short because Traffic Warden has actually been putting down bigger ratings than Growing Empire so far. I know Growing Empire, they've already come out and said he's going to a Coolmore, but these are pre-noms markets, so it's Monday nominations. We've had a bet on Traffic Warden today at $6.50. And comparing that to $2.50 for Growing Empire, I mean, it's chalk and cheese. They should be a lot closer together. Leo Checo, what's a take out of the weekend going forwards? Chairwolf is the only Australian horse that can win the Golden Eagle. That's what you take out of the weekend. And the last one is from Punters and Collectors. What do you fellas think of Chairwolf's next target and what it should be, and how do you see him going? And thoughts on the last race in Sydney? Thought there were some really eye-catching runs with Briasa Infancy, especially Port Lockroy running a career peak in a trip well short his best. Firstly, Chairwolf will go to the King Charles next. Wait for age 1600 metres on Everest Day next weekend. Secondly, I thought this race in the last at Randwick was pretty good. Ostraka was just given a perfect ride by Jason Collett, drawn barrier 2. Last start, he sat back a long way and charged home. This time, he got the perfect run in transit and posted a rating of 97.6. Moravia, very, very good, only just missed. Port Lockroy, huge. And Briasa, well, this was a slaughter job by Zach Lloyd. It is a very, very nice horse. So I completely agree with you. There's plenty of horses in race 10 at Randwick that you can be following that could go up to that sort of listed level in coming.
How did he slaughter it?
Oh, just drew barrier 15 and never really made a decision. And it was just wide, no cover, like the whole way. And just not good. No. Not good. And it was just like back in the field, yeah. All right, a few Instagram questions. First one is from Ruben. Do you reckon Buckaroo won the Turnbull? Do you reckon if Buckaroo won the Turnbull, Nico wouldn't have been heard from again? Probably. We're hoping to get Nico back on Thursday night. Is Craig Williams intentionally losing so we get a better price for Ballinipatina in the Everest? Toby says. Oh. We had a good price on the weekend of $3 and now we've just left that on the table. So, yeah, that was bad. Max Kogler, how don't you know Toby Bott? He works at racing.com.
Say again?
Max Kogler says, how don't you know Toby Bott? He works at racing.com. Toby that you know of?
There is one, but I don't think I've ever spoken to him. Lucky, I think he's a journalist. No, but Lucky, he does it from home, I think. I don't know.
Same Toby, then maybe introduce yourself to Bott. Stu says, when is Will starting his own paid service? Intentions of doing this? Stu.
No, I won't do it. I don't think so.
Fair enough. No interest. No. Stu says, who wins the Everest proper dart job this year?
I don't know.
I reckon one of the three-year-olds win it. I reckon Traffic Warden or maybe Growing Empire if he runs one of the two. Coops Irwin, is Bott the king of Alice Springs? What does that mean?
I was giving him all Alice Springs tips.
Right. Why were you giving Alice Springs tips? Too many sherbets. Which race is shaping up to be more exciting, the Caulfield Cup or the Melbourne Cup? This is not even a question. I mean, the Caulfield Cup did get a boost on the weekend, no doubt, because there's probably like four to five really good, genuine winning chances, but Melbourne Cup easily.
I don't know. Caulfield Cup's one of my favourite races every year. I just think it's a really good betting race. The Caulfield Cup.
I just feel like there's only going to be five chances in the race.
Yeah, I know, but I really hope the market doesn't like Buckaroo because it's DeMar and Arthur going to smack it.
What price don't you want to take for Buckaroo? Like $4 or less?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say so far out, but like I'm kind of thinking if like $5, you make him $3.50 in your bet.
Yeah. Which horse is most likely to do the Cups double this prep?
None of them. There is no horse that's going to do the Cups
double. There is one horse that can do it.
No, it's not.
Land Legend is the only one that could do it, but I don't think he will. I reckon he's the only one that has any capacity to do it. Shane Burnett, is my Alias $51 Cox Plate ticket confetti?
Yeah, it's going to the Caulfield Cup.
It could back up, but probably not.
Maybe.
That is a possibility. So, you know, a horse can run in a Caulfield Cup and then back up a week later into the Cox Plate. We've seen it before. Shane Burnett says, Chairwolf champion stakes beyond at Flemo. I have heard that Joe Pride is interested in Champions Day, whether it's the Champions Stakes or the Champions Mile for Chairwolf after the King Charles. But, I mean, the owners are going to turn around to Joe and say, we're going to the Golden Eagle, mate. And that's that.
Is that the same week? I thought the Golden Eagle was before that.
Golden Eagle's on the 2nd of November, which isn't that Derby Day?
Whatever.
I'm pretty sure it's Derby Day, which is a week before Champions Day. But what is a crimpy and how do I get one from Tyson?
Tyson knows all about crimpies.
Like chicken crimpies.
Yeah, those ones.
Tyson Hunter, unbelievable set on the weekend, lads. Merci, Bock, Q. Now, was I meant to say that in like a French accent? I'm not going to attempt to. Ryan Deeth, what's it like, Ben and Bott, to make Flemington your BITCH? It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, I walked out of there with a strut in my step. It was awesome.
Yeah. Walked out of there with mum and her friend with an absolute strut. Straight back home. it was bloody awesome, Artie. It would have been even better if Craig Williams, you know, just thought of actually trying to win a race on Ballinipatina. That would have been awesome. Ryan, how do you think Nico will come back this prep looser than ever. I think Nico's going to come back half the man he used to be because he's on a bit of a shred.
Is he?
Yeah.
No way.
Shred season for our Nico, so watch out. Big guns will be out. Ryan Deeth, how skibbity toilet was the Riz coming out of VS? I'm not even going to read that. Geez, RD. Where does he learn this stuff? He's way too old to be speaking like
this. He's got kids, to be fair.
And the last one is Leo. Bot, what would you say is the biggest contributor to your recent form?
Just back in winners. I don't know.
Come on, give us
which Leo is that? Is that Leo? Is that from... Yeah,
Brazilian Leo.
Yeah. I don't know. I just variance, I guess. Like sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Like I went through a pretty average sort of thing, and I think I was betting just the same as I am now. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. It's just that simple. You can beat the market and still lose. Like, you know, if I take $5 something and, you know, the market's saying it's a 20% chance of winning then and it firms into $3, you know, it gets beat. Well, it's, you know, I've got a fair edge there, but it still gets beat. You don't get paid for it, so nothing to say for it. But still, technically speaking, it's a good bet. And people argue how much BDSB matters anymore with the few of the bigger players leaving the market, but... You know, it's still a factor.
Still a factor, and there's still edges to be found for us smaller punters. Don't worry about that. I think one of the biggest things for me is just the good horses are back. So a lot of the time you can trust them a lot more, and I've got a lot more confidence backing them. But luck is always a factor. I think four of my biggest results on Saturday, they won. Those four horses won by a combined margin of less than half a length. So
really?
It's a game of inches, yeah, like Land Legend winning, VS Sestina winning. There are a few others that First Settler beating Reserve Bank. Like these are very, very minute margins, and luck goes a big way to, you know, whether you have a good day or a shit day. And there was a bit of luck on our side on Saturday besides Craig Williams on Ballinipatina. So we will take it. All right. Thank you very much, punters. We'll be back here on Thursday for a juiced up preview of Caulfield Guineas Day. It is my favorite Caulfield day of the entire year and probably on the podium in the top three. Another Will in the Toorak broadsiding. Oh, he's going to win the Caulfield Guineas. And hopefully Mr. Brightside can continue the party in the might and power. Hopefully Bright Genie doesn't go there. But we'll see you there on Thursday. It's going to be a cracking preview. Cheers, guys. Happening.